Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hi guys, and welcome to episode 6 of Hashtag No Filter. I'm very excited today because this is the first time in my whole 6 episodes, you know, I've done a lot of episodes here, but in my whole 6 episodes that I'm bringing someone back that has already been on my podcast. A couple weeks ago, so not this most recent one with Megan, but the one before, I had Josh and Nathan on talking about dating and sex and relationships in their late 20s. And I actually have Josh back today talking about a topic that I've been very fascinated by and talked to various people about it because I feel it's something that gets kind of a bad rap and it's not talked about as often. And I want to talk to him about it because he is for this topic. And the topic is open relationships. A lot of people are immediately going to say no, negative, bad, never would consider it. But Josh is actually for open relationships. And I am just fascinated with why and how and how this became a thing in his life. And he's had successful open relationships. And so I'm very excited to talk to him today. So welcome back, Josh.
Good to be here.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
So sure. Slightly different topics than we talked about with Nathan.
Definitely.
The other day. So I guess the first place to start, because everyone kind of already know you've already been on here, so they know your background, but why are you for open relationships and what made you get into open relationships?
So the reason I'm for open relationships is I was in a really long on and off relationship with a high school sweetheart. We had been together for 8 years or so with some big gaps between, but I cheated on her. It's the one time I've cheated in a relationship. And when it happened, you never cheat because you want to hurt somebody. Or at least I don't know anyone who's done that, like specifically to go out and be malicious. It's just because you're not getting something out of this relationship that you feel like you want or you need. And I came to a place where I just wasn't getting what I needed out of this relationship sexually. And I think a part of that was we'd been together for so long. It had just kind of gotten monotonous.
Mm-hmm. How long were you together?
On and off for 8 years.
8 years.
So
okay. Yeah.
I was about 23. So specifically because it was this person that I had been with for so long, we were so close. We spent all of those crucial years together. We watched each other grow up. Like, not only was she my romantic partner, she was my best friend. So to have cheated on her and hurt her in that way was devastating for me, honestly. Like, I can't take away what she experienced. Obviously, it must have been harder for her. But it didn't feel good for me to watch her hurt. And when that happened, I really kind of had to sit with myself and say, if she had cheated on, because she stated me, and it kind of boggled my mind. Honestly, when I had gotten caught, I assumed this is over. This is, I ruined it. Like, this is the end. But mm-hmm. she wanted to stay with me, and I had to sit with myself and kind of say, how do I feel about this? Like, do I judge her for staying with me? How would I feel if she cheated on me? Like, am I taking advantage over her? Taking advantage of her by staying with her, and having gotten away with this thing? For all intents and purposes, I mean, it wasn't rainbows and butterflies right away. It was a hard time for a couple months, but
sure.
I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the repercussions were minimal. So I had to come to a spot and say, do I love this person enough to where if she had done the same thing, like letting it go would be better than losing her altogether?
Wow.
And that was kind of when it opened my eyes to, all right, so if I can get past it, it's not what is it about, what is it that I need to get past? What is it about me that would be upset that she slept with someone else? And immediately it just took me to my ego. And mm-hmm. I was like, it's my insecurities that would say that I don't want her to sleep with someone else. I'm scared that she might go out there and find someone better than me and just stop coming home.
Because they were better or because they were better looking or what?
In any way.
Anything.
In any way. And honestly, the funny thing is, I think I got to a point with open relationships where for me, it's like, look, you may have better sex with somebody, but like, for me, the crucial part of a real relationship is the interpersonal, emotional, mm-hmm. intellectual connection that we have. I mean, I can have a really, like, to get a little X-rated, I suppose, I can really enjoy an experience that I have at home by myself watching porn.
Right.
But I don't have any sort of intellectual, emotional connection to the people on the screen.
Yeah.
So to me, like, that's kind of how I drew the conclusion, like, okay, this is the most important part of the relationship. Sex is just maintenance. And if I can view it that way, I can kind of set my ego and, like, the emotional, hormonal responses to someone else having sex with another person aside and say, it's not worth losing this emotional connection.
I see. So what happened after that? Like, did you immediately start anyone you were with? Like, you had to make sure you were in an open relationship. Like, what was the next stage?
Yeah, honestly, I've always kind of come from the perspective that I've never been one of these guys that wanted to go out and get married. I kind of have an off the beaten path perspective on children as well. Like, mm-hmm.
We'll probably have to have you back on another podcast yeah. to talk about that one because that's interesting.
No joke. I personally, I feel like it's a very primal base thing to have, like, to procreate and have more children. So I don't think like that's I don't think it's ethical at mm-hmm. this point in history to be reproducing anymore. Like, I think there's enough of us, especially like for everyone to have one. Like, I don't think everybody gets one.
Right.
Coming to the decision of who gets to have them and who doesn't, that's way beyond me. I don't get to say that. But I don't necessarily like feel like it's my life's purpose to go out and have children or find a mate. So what do I do in a world with women and men who have been raised in an environment that says this is the only way?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of came to the conclusion that I don't feel like our bodies are built for monogamy. And the direction I see society moving isn't conducive to monogamy either. So for me, I kind of like if when someone really talks to me about it, I say I'm just a little more evolved in the right. sexual realm
mm-hmm.
than a lot of people are. I think there's a lot of things that are built in that say that open relationships shouldn't work and they don't work. But I think if you can get your mind there, your body will follow.
Mm-hmm. So have you noticed that when you're meeting women, when you're out at bars or wherever mm-hmm. you're meeting women, are they for this? Like, have you noticed?
Yeah. So I think that was your original question was how has it gone in relationships that I've been in? Mm-hmm. How do I introduce that to people? It's like a day one thing. For me.
Oh, okay.
First date. Like, I don't...
Like the first time you meet them?
The first date. I mean, if it's the first time I meet them and like we're in a group setting and I'm like, hey, we should hang out sometime, we're probably not going to talk about it that night.
But if you're on a one-on-one...
If I'm in a one-on-one and we're talking about like, well, how's the dating life been mm-hmm. for you? Just like those typical first date conversations, it almost always comes up like, well, do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids sort of thing? And I am usually up front from the get-go where it's... Not usually. I am up front from the get-go. No, I've never wanted those things. I don't think I want those things.
The typical response? Sorry to cut you off, but what's the typical response?
I mean, there's been a lot of first dates where like I just don't hear back from them. Mm-hmm. I think that like that's not going to work for a lot of people. But at the same time, I'm coming from a place where I don't want to hurt anybody. So honesty is the best thing I can do for these women, especially like because I am so promiscuous. Like I don't want to lie to you and mislead you just to sleep with you. That's not my end game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a lot of people's end game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of guys out there that feel like me who will not be so forthcoming with the way they feel
right.
because that's their end game.
Exactly.
Like they're just trying to sleep with you. Like there's a lot of first dates I've been on where that comes up and they may not just like immediately go running for the hills, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's like a contributing factor as to why we don't have a second date.
I see.
But the few women that have been responsive to it. I've had 3 different relationships that lasted about a year with women in
and it was open relationships.
Yeah. And each of those had their pitfalls and their good moments. And we can get into those too.
Were they also hooking up, sleeping with other men? Like, were they, or they were like, how did it work?
I would assume so. I come from a place where, and I think this is crucial in any open relationship, is understanding what the other person wants to know about your open relationship. For me, I don't want to know anything. Like, I don't need to. Like,
at all.
No, I get it. I don't need his name. I don't need where you went to dinner. I don't need to know that you slept with him or you didn't sleep with him. Like, that's, it doesn't do anything for me to know.
But do you like ruminate in your head, like, oh, where is she? Like, are you thinking about it? Or are you just kind of shut that part of your brain off? Like, how does it work?
No, it doesn't get to me. I kind of got to the point where it's like, I'm not going to be the only person you run to when you need a laugh. I'm not going to be the only person you run to when you need a serious conversation, which are all things that we do to maintain a healthy body and a healthy mind. Mm-hmm. I think of sex as one of those things. Like, it's just something we have to do to maintain a healthy body and a healthy mind. And I don't have to be the one person you run to maintain that all the time.
And you're okay with that. You just don't want to know, like, who, when, where, what.
Yeah,
like,
no, you, not at all. I also, when we were speaking about it in private the other day, mm-hmm. I use an analogy where it's like, if the person you love goes to your very favorite restaurant without you, are you mad? It's like, or can you just be happy that person enjoyed a meal?
Right.
So, and there's one of the most typical responses when I talk to someone about being in an open relationship is they say, oh, well, if you can't possibly be in love with that person if you feel okay with them sleeping with somebody else. And my counter argument is, no, I love them so much that I would hate to be the reason they missed out on a sexual experience when we have this finite amount of time on this planet. Like, if that makes you happy, great. Go participate in that thing that makes you happy. Like, don't miss out because of me. Like, that's a big part of it for me too. Like, I don't want to be the reason, like, I never want to be the reason someone looks back at 52 and is like, man, I spent my entire life with this one man. And like, now I'm at a point in my like physical state that like, I'm not going to be able to have mm-hmm. all these enjoyable experiences that I could have had.
And so it seems that you're confident enough in yourself, not in a cocky or arrogant way, but you are self-assured enough to be okay with the fact that they might sleep with someone else, but still love you in a different way. Like, you're okay. Like, a lot of guys wouldn't be okay with that.
Yeah, no, I'm confident. Yeah, that's crucial, is being confident in your relationship, in the sexual part of your relationship, and especially in the emotional part of your relationship. Like, and that, honestly, that's where a big part of it comes from, is like, I know what I bring to the table as far as emotional support mm-hmm. and stability. And I know that that is more important to my significant other than just sleeping with somebody.
Right.
Because I know from my personal experience in my relationships, like when I cheated on my girlfriend, mm-hmm. I knew that the girl that I was cheating on her with was just a fling.
Like, it was not an intellectual or emotional connection at all.
It was just a sexual thing.
Right.
And I know that night with that person didn't make me love my girlfriend any less.
Of course, right.
So that's kind of what it was. It was like, all right, if I can love her with my whole heart, but I need this one thing outside of our relationship, but it doesn't change how I feel for her, why can't she sleep with someone else? And it doesn't change the way she feels about me.
Right.
And that's really like, that was really like a big eye-opening moment for me. And then ever since then, I was like, all right, from now on, open relationships until it doesn't make sense. And
has it always, it's made sense ever?
Actually, not yet so far. All of them have ended, I think, in one way or the other because it was an open relationship. 2 of them was because I was like, okay, I'm just killing this person right now. I think it's become too hard on them. I think a couple of them entered into it thinking, this will be like,
no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. I can handle it. And then this relationship gets a little more serious and then they're not able to separate their ego from the situation, and they build those insecurities.
So what happens, like, let's say you're in this open relationship, you go into it open mm-hmm. and you fall hard for them. Like, do you foresee yourself ever getting to the point where you're like, actually, like, monogamy is this is, I want to be with this girl forever. I want to marry her. I want to babies with her. Like, yeah. And you don't want any other woman.
So in my most recent relationship that just ended at the beginning of the year, it was exactly like that. All of my relationships before her in the years previous had been open relationships. I entered into this one agreeing to be in an open relationship with her because it made sense at the time. And then it was just like, man, I got to a point where I was like, I don't want to sleep with anybody else. Like, I just genuinely don't. Like, I'm having everything that I need fulfilled in this spot right now. Like,
physical, mental, emotional, all of it.
Everything was there for me. But it wasn't for her. Like, she wanted to keep it. She wanted to keep it to where we were completely open. And
so she was more. She was the open. She was the one that wanted the open relationship. Really, at this point.
So it definitely got to that point. In the beginning, we both agreed that we wanted an open relationship, and we were okay with it. But for me, it got to a point where it was like. Like, it's not an open relationship anymore in a way because, like, I'm not stepping outside of the relationship because I simply don't want to. Like, I'm finally at a point where I'm like, okay, I can do this. And I can't say that I would want to do it forever. But I was for sure at that moment like, all right, I can be monogamous for the foreseeable future. Like, in a year and a half from now or 2 years from now, once it gets monotonous, like a lot of relationships end up doing, I can see myself wanting to be like, okay, I want to be in an open relationship again.
Right.
But, this one, this last one, it got to a point where, so a big part of having a successful relationship is communication and honesty and being completely open. And a big part of it, which was my downfall, was reading into things that are not explicit and having very specific conversations about how you feel about things. We had established that we were in an open relationship months later into the relationship. There was some conversations. I can't remember verbatim what was said, but she basically said, "You're all I want. This is all I need in my life." And I read into that more than I should have. And I was like, "Oh, okay. So she means I'm the only person she wants. This is the only thing she needs in her life. We're monogamous. Like, she is all about me. There's no one else. This is just us against the world sort of thing now." And a month later, I was like, oh, she.
So that's not what she meant.
Yeah, that's not what she meant at all. I mean, she might have meant something. I'm sure whatever it was, whatever she did mean was endearing and thoughtful and caring. It just wasn't what I thought. So you have to have these very explicit conversations about what you mean, how you feel. And it's not something you have to like reestablish every single week.
Right.
But to be mindful of what you're saying in flippant conversations to make sure that you're not misleading your partner.
Right.
I don't think that what she did was malicious. I don't think she was intentionally trying to mislead me. I think it was 100% my fault. I thought she was saying something she wasn't, and I should have asked more. Yeah,
right.
And that when it happened, and I kind of was like, "Dude, what are you doing? Sleeping with some other dude?" And she was like, "Why are you upset with me?" And it drove a wedge between us because we thought we had this really deep connection where we were having this awesome open relationship, and both of us weren't on the same page, which really in the end ended up being the nail in the coffin, I suppose,
for
the relationship. And there were other contributing factors, but that was a big part of it. And then in previous relationships that I've had where it didn't work out was the other person – I could see how extramarital affairs when you're in a marriage, but extra relational affairs outside of that relationship were starting to weigh on those girls.
I see.
I think because we didn't have open and honest communication.
Conversations, right?
Yeah. Where I was like, what do you want to know? Do you want to know who I'm with? Do you want to know when I'm with them? Do you want to know where we're going? Do you want to know what we're doing? Do you want to know how we did it? Like, there's all kinds of things that you kind of have to talk about with that person when you're going to be in an open relationship that is not the most comfortable thing to discuss, even with the person that you're the most intimate with.
Right.
I think it reveals a lot about you. I've been with some girls who want to know every single like dirty detail.
Like where, when, how, what, why.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then I've been with people who don't want to know anything about it.
And you're respectful to what they're...
Yeah,
if
course.
They don't want to hear about it, you don't talk about it.
Oh, of course. I mean, you'd have to be. I mean, that wouldn't be...
It wouldn't work.
That's a disaster immediately.
But so, okay. So let's say you meet this girl, however you meet her, and you hit it off. You're attracted to her physically, mm-hmm. mentally, emotionally. Mm-hmm. You talk about being in an open relationship. You're in an open relationship, but then you and or her, it goes beyond that. You're like, well, I actually don't want you sleeping with anyone else. I don't want you being with anyone else. Like, typically, it sounds like it then won't work. Like,
yeah, it's either not going to work or it's going to be a really hard 6 or 7 months.
But do you think ever that this could be forever? The open relationship situation, could that be forever? Like, can you sustain that forever?
I
know you're not forever yet. You're not.
Yeah, I mean, I think
100 years old, but
I think that you can. If you are 100% open and honest, it just keeps coming back to that honesty thing where you have to know what the other person needs and you have to be able to respect those needs.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be points in an open relationship where it's like, you know what? I want us to be monogamous for 6 months or whatever. It's like, I need to be monogamous right now. Like, I need to know that, like, you're mine right now.
Okay. So what do you do in that situation?
And the other person might need that. And you know, if, like... I feel like it's okay to be selfish and it's okay to be greedy, and it sucks when someone else's happiness pivots on your happiness or your presence. Like, when you know that if you leave someone, their heart's going to break, and that's terrible.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you're unhappy, I feel like you have to put that first.
Mm-hmm.
You owe it to yourself to put that first.
Yeah.
So if that person says, hey, I need you right now. I need this to be monogamous. You have to ask yourself, like, all right, well, where am I at? Is this person's happiness where my happiness lies and I can do this?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I going to be selfish right now and say, you know what? Like, that's not what I need right now.
Right.
And I don't think that always lines up.
Do you think you're going to have this? Do you think this is a phase? I mean, no, clearly not, because this has been your thought process for a while. But do you think that at some point you might be like, I don't want an open relationship. I want someone to be with one and only, emotional, physical, mental, everything.
I think like we were talking about earlier, like things getting monotonous. I don't think that even if I go into a relationship and it's monogamous, like I wanted this last one to be. Like I said, I don't know that I can say in 2 years I'm going to want to.
Right. Like at the time you thought that was, you wanted that monogamous relationship, but you don't. Like, you don't know if you're built for that, meant for that.
I think, I don't think our bodies are built to be monogamous forever. It just doesn't make sense to me.
But do you think emotionally, mentally, it could be one person forever, but the physical, the sex is the thing that can't be always the same person? Is it both?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because I have people in my life right now where I definitely have like a stronger emotional, intellectual connection with someone that I haven't been with for a while, that will always trump whatever sexual relationship that I'm in.
Got it. So it's not that one's more important than the other, like the emotional or the physical. How do you determine, like, if you have this emotional, mental connection with someone, here's a better question. You have this emotional, mental connection with someone that is like mind blowing, like incredible, but you don't have the physical. Would you be with that? Like, how does that work?
So I had that in the relationship previous to my most recent one. And like, we could lay in bed and talk for hours. We could spend every day with each other and we would never get tired of each other. We had a blast. We had the
like
most,
you enjoyed it.
Yeah, we really enjoyed being around each other. But the sex wasn't any good. Like, it just wasn't good.
For either of you.
And particularly for me. She wanted sex all the time. And it really got to the point in our relationship where, like, I physically couldn't... I could not have sex with her.
Why?
To be explicit, like,
yes,
I just,
let's be explicit.
My dick would not get hard for her. Like, to be honest.
So you were not physically attracted to her. She was not like
in the beginning of the relationship, it was all there. It was perfect. And then after like 5 or 6 months, it just kind of fell away. And then to where it got to be like the last 3 months of our relationship, I don't think we had sex once in like 90 days. And it was it was the point where we both had such a strong connection. Like, neither of us wanted to let it go, even though we were basically just best friends.
But yeah,
we
so what do you do there?
It was, it got to the point where I called her and I was like, hey, we need to talk about us not having sex. And we had a conversation that night and it was like, this isn't going to work. Like, this doesn't make sense. It's not fair to me. It's not fair to you.
Right.
Especially really for her. Like, it was not an easy thing to lay in bed next to her all those nights, knowing that she wanted to sleep with me and not wanting to do that with her, or the times we would try and it simply wouldn't happen. Like, couldn't happen.
Right.
Seeing her self-esteem be diminished in that way was really heartbreaking for me, because I cared about her a lot and I wanted her to be happy. I wanted her to feel wanted. She deserves to feel wanted. It just wasn't there.
Right. Like, you couldn't help it. Like,
no, I couldn't help it. Like, I desperately wanted to have sex with her just to not hurt her feelings, if for no other reason. And it wasn't there. So you can have these like really strong emotional connections and the sex not be there,
But that's not sustainable.
I don't think it's sustainable, no. I don't think you can just step outside the relationship and sleep with other people exclusively and not sleep with the person that you're spending all of your time with and it be, yes.
So could you have stayed with her and just been in an open relationship with her and you each go outside of the relationship for the physical? Or she wasn't down for that?
You know, I mean, I think it got to the point where she was so into it. I think I could have told her I wanted to do whatever I wanted and she would have been okay with that, because she was so content with like what we had emotionally.
I see.
She really didn't have a lot of stability in her life, and I was like a real like pillar.
A rock
of,
for her. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
I really think that she needed me so much emotionally at the time that I could have said whatever and she would have been okay with it.
So you ultimately ended that?
No, because I could tell how bad it was for her.
Okay, I see.
Like, not only was I unhappy sexually, like, because not that I didn't want to have sex, but yeah, like I said, I didn't want to let her go. She didn't want to let me go. But in the end, like, I was like, this is not going to end well for either of us.
Right.
I can see how unhappy you are on a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah. So how does it work? And it's probably different for everyone. You're with someone, you have agreed to be in an open relationship. Do you guys still have sex? And then you also have sex with people outside of the relationship?
Yes.
Or you don't have sex at all?
No, you have sex and then you have sex outside the relationship. And for me, it never got to be where it was like you're sleeping with a lot of people in rapid succession. Like, I would be able to maintain a relationship with this person and be monogamous with them for a month or two.
Right.
And then I might step outside and sleep with a couple different people in a short span of time just to experience a different flavor, I suppose, like, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd be like, okay, cool. I sowed some wild oats. Like, I'm back in it now.
Right, right.
Like, the emotional connection never disappeared. And honestly, I think when the times I step out and come back, it reignites the sex in a way that
makes sense.
Is completely new.
Right.
And I don't know exactly why that is, but anecdotally, it's always been true for me.
Okay. So how would you... Okay, so let's say someone... I mean, I guess you can't speak to this because you're not married. But, okay. Well, what happens if you decide, like, you know what? Kids are for me. Like, I might want kids. How would that work if you were in an open relationship and you wanted kids with someone? Like, what do you...
I mean... Juggling any sort of relationship once kids are involved is always difficult. Even so, juggling like your emotional relationship and your sexual relationship on top of like raising humans has got to be incredibly difficult.
I would imagine.
I really don't know. I feel like I don't have much of a perspective to offer on it because I haven't been married.
Okay.
I don't have kids, but I don't think that it's impossible. But I think it's another one of those things where you just got to be completely open and honest.
Communicate.
Yeah, you have to communicate. If you're not communicating, it's never going to work.
Do you foresee yourself ever having kids?
So in my last relationship, my girlfriend said she wanted to have kids. And for the first time in my entire life, I was overcome with this overwhelming overwhelming hunger for children.
Like immediately or just in knowing that it could be?
The day she told me, like, I want four kids, I was like, we could have four kids.
Today.
Tomorrow. Yeah, I don't, like, let's do it.
And wow, it she must have been amazing.
she was awesome. She's a great girl. I hope she's really, she deserves all the happiness in the world.
So you're not on bad terms with her?
No, I'm not on bad terms with any of my ex-girlfriends. I could call any of them today and say, hey, I've got a flat tire, and they would drive happily across town to help me out with it. And the same goes for them. Like, I've never had like a knockdown, drag out, fighting kind of breakup, but that comes from being 100% open and honest in your relationship.
So that's what it is.
Yeah. And not being, having the other person know that no matter what it is that you're doing, isn't coming from a malicious place.
Right.
And I think a lot of relationships are kind of eaten up with that. I talk to people all the time and they're like, my girlfriend called me a bitch, or a fucker, so I called her a bitch. And then she called me a motherfucker, so I called her a cunt. And it's like, anytime
right.
that you are hurt in a relationship, whether it's an intimate relationship or just a friend relationship, the minute that you're hurt and your response is to hurt them in an equal manner, you need to get out. It's not healthy.
Right.
So I think all of my partners that I've been with know that that's the kind of place that I come from. Like, I'm
because you're upfront about it.
Yeah, like I don't argue in my relationships. I want to fight with you in your relationships. I've never called anyone a name. I can look back over all of my relationships and know that I've never called anyone a name out of anger. Like, I can definitely like recall times I've been in HEB and been like, "Bitch, get some cheese," or whatever it is. Like, we're being goofy together.
But cheese is important.
Exactly, so. it is crucial. But I've never called anyone a name out of anger. So I think that all my partners know that about me. When we end it, they know that it's just because
you're a good person.
Yeah, it's not because like I'm dying to like I don't know. Yeah, I've been very lucky.
Yeah, you have. But so what happens like these days? I mean, it hasn't been a lot. But let's say you're at a bar, or you're at HEB, and you meet this girl, and it's good. You hit it off. So it's right away that you're going to talk to her about this, because the reason I'm fascinated with it is because so many people are very much not for open relationships.
Yeah.
And it's because they just, because what you said, like, we have been brought up, society makes us feel monogamy is everything. And,
yeah.
And, but you are for, like, it's almost like you love the person so much that you want them to experience something else.
Right.
And, like, do you believe in it happens, but divorce, like, is that like, do you believe in marriage? And then do you believe in divorce? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I had this conversation the other day. I believe in finding someone that you want to spend the rest of your life with.
So you do? Okay.
I don't necessarily believe in the institution of marriage. Like, I don't necessarily believe that you have to go sign a bunch of paperwork, or that you need to have some big get together and kind of and have everyone bring you gifts. There's something innately narcissistic about that to me that I don't think is necessarily healthy, and I think is also kind of caught up in the schism that is intimate relationships. That's been it all seems very archaic to me.
Mm-hmm.
Even the diamond ring is a bit of a dowry sort of like mm-hmm. gesture to me that it just doesn't make sense. And I try to look at it from a female perspective sometimes, and I feel like if I was a woman, I wouldn't want it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think.
Right.
So you're
not against commitment.
No,
not against,
all.
But the whole song and dance.
Yeah,
you're not so much on.
I'm not interested in the big song and dance. Like I said, there's something innately and narcissistic about that to me. Like, if you want to invite like your closest friends and family members and have like you just recite some vows or something, I think we spoke in the last podcast. I'm not religious, so not an element of it for me. But if you want to like have a small get together and like exchange some vows, I understand the depth and meaningfulness of doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I've felt those emotions when I've watched friends of mine get married. Mm-hmm. But I also watch friends of mine get married and I'm like, there's a bunch of motherfuckers in this room that none of us have seen in years. This is foolish. Like, I don't know why you thought you had to buy this person dinner because you are getting married. And like,
right.
I don't know why they would bring you a gift because you were lucky enough to find someone you want to spend forever with. I'm like, you should be buying us gifts.
But what if you wanted the crock pot and you couldn't afford the crock pot and it was on your register?
You
industry.
You know what? Be upfront and just say you need some help with a crock pot. I honestly, like, I'm much more likely to send you a gift to your wedding than I am to show up to a wedding. It's not my scene. But
you're like, when you go to weddings, it's not like you're like this like negative Nancy in the back. You have a great time. You're for it.
I will say, if I show up to your wedding, that means you are dearly loved.
Oh, I see.
I will not go to weddings. I think I've told like maybe 3 or 4 people in my life, like, hey, you're not allowed to get married because you're one of the people that I know. If you do get married, I'm going to have to go.
Right.
I want to go.
But you're not, it's not like you're like, because it doesn't sound like it at all. You're not like a negative person. Like you, if your best friend is for monogamy and would never believe in open relationships, you are for that.
I would never try to convince someone this is the way to go. I have just found that it is the way for me, and I don't want people to be freaked out about exploring it.
But I think it's pretty amazing that you have already discovered, or not discovered, but figured out that is the way for you. I mean, that means you obviously know yourself very well and what works for you and what doesn't, because a lot of people don't know this so well, even at your age and our age, and you know.
Well, and it works for me right now.
It might not be forever.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, this has been the last 4 years of my life, but I mean, I might wake up tomorrow and be like, man, that guy on the podcast yesterday was an idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, I don't foresee that.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I'm always open to having my mind changed, and like I never wanted kids before.
Right, and then you were with this girl,
and it changed everything. I mean, I don't want kids now that the relationship is over. But I understand that I can have those feelings, I can have those emotions, and before that, I never thought so.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know. Like I might find someone and be like, I will never be in an open relationship ever again. Like I want monogamy forever with this person. I feel like that's really far fetched, but it might happen.
It might. So you're not saying never say never. Like you are.
Yeah. No. I'm never dug in on anything, and I feel like anyone who is a really boring person to have a conversation with, because it's like, well, what are we doing? Like,
right.
If you've got an opinion and it can never be changed, what are we talking about? Yeah.
Well, I think that's pretty. I mean, it's amazing because I have a lot of friends, and we've like the conversations have come up, and even like if, you know, I have this friend actually who is in therapy, and she was telling me about it that the therapist was saying, well, you know, maybe an open relationship is something that you should explore.
Yeah.
And it was immediately like, no, I can never do that. But right. It's not such a like an asinine thing. Like it's okay. Like it is
okay.
Okay for the right person. I mean, you have to be okay with that.
I think it's okay for the right couples. Like I said, it's 100% like a two-way street. Like it has to be both people involved in this decision. And
well, but what happens if one? Okay, so let's say one. I mean, I guess you can't speak to it because you're not in that situation. But let's say one person's like super into it. Like, oh my god, I think this could really like enhance our relationship because I'm getting X, Y, and Z from this person. But the other person's not. Like, so is it divorce? Is it? What do you do? I mean, how does someone? I mean, I guess you can't speak to that.
I think it's like anything else in life. Like whether if it's a job, it's like, does the good outweigh the bad? So, I mean, is this if I decide to be in an open relationship with this person, is it going to hurt me? Yeah, it might hurt for a little while, but like, is this relationship so great and so good that I'm willing to like have this experience with this person and see like see if it works?
Right.
It's a tough one because it's one of those things like once you do it, you can't really take it back, sort of thing. I guess. Right.
But if you communicate about it.
But I mean, even once you say it, like it's a tough thing to take back. It's a really hard thing to approach your significant other and say, hey, especially if you've been together for a while, and say, hey, I think I'm
by the way,
in a relationship. Yeah, and that might really hurt the other person to even hear that you have those inklings of an idea.
If they don't have that idea
at all. Yeah, if they don't have that idea at all.
But then the problem is that person could then sleep with someone else, like cheat on them, and it could be a whole mess.
For sure. But
if you communicate, it sounds like the whole thing has to do with communication.
It definitely all has to do with communication. It all comes back to communication, but there's a lot of like some relationships just don't work.
Right.
And some relationships burn really bright. And then they burn out. And that's how it goes. Like, not everything is meant to last forever. Even some things that feel like it's going to be forever when you're in the moment with it, it just doesn't work out.
Right, exactly.
And not being afraid for things to not work out. like that's, I think a lot of people live in fear of just, all right, I found this great thing. What if I don't find it again? What if I never find it again?
Right.
I felt that way when I immediately, when I got out of this relationship, it was like, oh my God, I found someone who makes me want to have kids, who makes me want to possibly be monogamous for a long time.
I'm sure it shocked you. Like,
it was incredibly shocking. And then once I got out of it, I was like, oh my God, what if I never find this again? And then I had to think like, all right, well, I was happy before this.
So how do you feel now? Because this breakup wasn't that long ago. So how do you feel now?
I feel like I'm not looking for that because I was never looking for that to begin with.
Right.
And I've been happy. So now I'm just going to continue to float on like I was before.
So you feel genuinely happy and you're okay and you're good.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely like, I definitely still think about her once a day. Like, I mean, it's only been about a month now. But I definitely still think about her once a day. Like things will come up. Like I was cleaning my room the other day and I almost lost my shit over like a brown bobby pin. Like,
why? Okay.
It was in my car because her, yeah, thing under my bed and her bobby pin was on the floor. And I was like, oh.
All right. So you really liked her. I mean,
no, I loved her. Genuinely, I loved her. And it was like, it's tough. It's never easy to like have a breakup, I guess. But I'm excited because I found that I can feel those things for somebody.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm not actively looking for it. If I stumble into it, that's great. If I never find it again, that'll be okay too.
And you'll genuinely be okay.
Yeah, I'll be fine. Like I said, I've never lived a life where I think that my happiness is going to pivot on whether or not I'm in a relationship with somebody or whether I have children. And I think that's a huge problem for a lot of people is there's this huge expectation that once you graduate college, you get your big kid job, you're working Monday through Friday, you have the weekends off, it's a 9-to-5, it's like, all right, it's time to settle down.
And then it's like engaged, married, baby, like all within like 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's a plan laid out. And there's a lot of comfort in that, knowing that there's a system.
But that's not you.
That's not me. And I think it's really uncomfortable to kind of ride this wave of uncertainty all the way through your 20s and into your 30s where it's like, I may find someone, I may not, like I'm not in any rush. Because I think a lot of people also live in fear of like, if I don't do it now, like how eligible am I going to be later in life?
Right. I feel like it's probably refreshing to many when you speak about this because it's not, you know, it's not like the most common thing. Your mindset is not the most common.
Oh, no. Yeah. I definitely understand how I feel is not common for most people. I know when I've told my... I remember the first relationship I was in where it was like, all right, this is going to be open. Like I want to sleep with other people. And she was like, okay, whatever you want to do. I was like, what? Do what?
Wait,
I was like, you're telling me I can go do this and I can come back.
And you were like, all right.
And you're not going to be mad at me? You're not going to be mad at me. I was like, I got to call somebody. I'm going to need you to write this down.
Right.
And we just sign at the bottom. We're going to date it. We're going to have someone come in and stamp it. We need this approved by the government. Because I don't believe you.
But that's how it was.
How it was. And I was like, wow, someone's actually down to do this. And then after that experience, I was like, well, I can't go back now. Like, I can't go back now. I can't not have this freedom, especially when you're talking about being in the opening parts of a relationship with somebody. Just cut everything off and say, I'm going to like seclude myself and wrap myself in this one person and shut myself off to all these other experiences that I could be having because this person might be the one. Maybe.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's just crazy to me. And I see people all the time in these like 6 or 7 month relationships. I think everyone from the outside perspective can say that this is not going to work. Even though it's making you happy now, that's cool. But you're also missing out on all this other stuff you could be doing while you're in it. But because you didn't have this uncomfortable conversation in your first few
months. Because it's a very uncomfortable conversation, I would imagine.
I've gotten to the point where it's not uncomfortable for me. I haven't noticed it be like visual. Like it hasn't been obviously uncomfortable for someone else to talk about. Usually, the other person answers with just as much intrigue as you did when I first mentioned it.
Which is why Josh is on this podcast.
They're like, well, how does that work?
Yeah, like, it's not the norm, and it's not what most people do.
No, not at all. And I think because I've been doing it for a while now, and it's coming from a place of where I'm not... I don't think with the women that I spend my time with, I read as someone who is just out trying to have as much crazy, wild sex, like party boy, frat guy sort of vibe. I don't think that's how I read.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
And when I'm able to articulate why I think open relationships are the way to go,
that makes sense.
People are much more responsive to them. And I think I've been with some girls who were just like, oh, this seems interesting. Let's try it sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and then it definitely wasn't their thing.
Right. But they tried.
Which they tried. And then I think I've been with other girls where it's like, I don't know that they're ever going to be in a relationship that's not an open relationship after they've experienced one either. But like I said earlier, like I'm not in a position where I'm like advocating this for everybody. I don't think it's for everybody.
No, and I think that's what's pretty awesome that you're not saying, oh my God, like fuck marriage, fuck like monogamy. Like if it's good for someone, that's amazing.
Yeah,
but for you at this moment in your life, it is not maybe the thing for you. And
honestly, like I feel like I'm kind of fucking jinxed. It would be like significantly less complex, like if I was just wanting to be in a monogamous relationship with somebody.
Right.
I feel like every relationship, every first date I go into, like I'm carrying this big fucking bag, and I'm like, hey, just so you know, you have to carry this shit.
By the way, but now you can have them listen to the podcast, and then
there you go. All right, before we go on this date, send me over here to hashtag no filter.
But it's because it's not the most common thing, and because society has us living in a very like coupled world where you're with someone and if there are any indiscretions, you're cheating on them, and I think it might be refreshing to some. Like, yeah. I think it's pretty cool that you're like coming out and like you're talking about it. Like, I mean, random people are going to be listening to this.
I think the best thing you can do in a relationship where you feel like this might be the answer is to just have open and honest conversations about your sex life with your partner.
Plain and simple, like just communicate.
Yeah. I mean, you have to. I mean, and this might not be the road it goes. Maybe you just want to get tied up. Maybe you want, like we talked about
like
last
tied podcast. Up. Are we talking like tied up against the bed, like 50 Shades of Grey?
Exactly. Maybe you want to be like tied up against the bed, like 50 Shades of Grey. Maybe you want like some sort of like role play thing. Like people have to be comfortable with what they want. And if you're not in a relationship, I think, where you're 100% comfortable to talk to the person that you're...
Well, then that's a problem to begin with.
Exactly. Then you're probably not in the healthiest relationship, and you need to step outside of it and examine it for a long time before you say, I'm really going to commit to this. Like, if you can't come to your partner and say, hey, things aren't the way we need them to be, then it's time to go.
Right.
And that then if sense. You come to your partner and you say, hey, things aren't the way they need to be, let's try ABC, and they shoot all three of those things down, then you're dealing with somebody who isn't in touch with what, that obviously doesn't have your best interest at heart.
Right. So, I mean, it's like it's because you're not thinking of it from a selfish standpoint at all. You're actually thinking it. You're thinking of it from a selfless standpoint that you want your partner to get what they want.
To say that you're willing to let your significant other that you say that you love go sleep with someone else, you have to come from a really selfless.
And you have to have a ego can't get in the way. I mean,
it really, really can't. If it does, it's going to destroy it. I mean, but that's like most things. If your ego is your driving factor in anything, you're going to have a hard go of it.
I feel like I could talk about this for hours. So I guess what would be your like, I mean, I know what actually your answer is going to be, but your parting, not parting words, but your advice for someone that might want to dabble in the territory of open relationships. I assume it's communication.
No, absolute silence. I would say, just what we talked about a second ago, if you're in a relationship where you feel like you can't talk about something like this, you really need to examine your relationship and take a step back. And you owe it to yourself. Don't let someone else's happiness, like relying on you, stop you from being happy.
Mm-hmm. Like put yourself first. I mean, not in a selfish way, but put yourself. I mean, your
significant other deserves to be in a relationship with someone who is just as invested in it as they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not getting everything you need out of that relationship, you're not going to be as invested as they are, 100%. Like, you're just not. Mm-hmm. You can't be. If you're missing this little X factor from your relationship, but the other person's getting everything, you're still not going to be able to reciprocate what the quality of emotion they're bringing to the table, because like they're feeling it all while you're not.
Right. No, that it's basically like put what is the quote or the saying, like, until you're happy and no one, you can't make someone else happy. I mean, you shouldn't depend on someone else for your happiness.
It's cliche, but yeah, you can't.
But it's cliche because it's true.
Yes, it's true. Yeah, you can't love someone until you love yourself. Mm-hmm. And that, if you're not if you're not happy by yourself, you're never going to be happy with somebody else.
Yeah.
Don't drag your insecurities that you've always had into a new relationship. That is never going to do anyone any good.
I find this very fascinating. We might even have a part two, guys, of theirs. Is there anything else you want to share? We could do a part two,
Don't let sex be a taboo. I feel like even from our first podcast,
yeah,
some of the responses that came back from it.
Yeah, we got some nasty responses actually from that. Yeah,
people are scared of dating, that's for certain, which I kind of understand. But at the same time, I kind of don't understand. Don't let any of this be taboo.
Not everything
that works for you is going to work for everyone else. And don't feel like if you haven't found someone yet, it's some oddity. Like, we have the luxury, the day and age we live in, to not have to go out and rush into a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not a guy who works in the coal mines, and if there's not a woman back home cooking the dinner, like, you're not going to be able to eat when you get back. And you're not a woman where if you're pregnant for 9 months, you can't possibly work and support yourself. So you have to depend on the man who got you pregnant to come back and provide for you. We live in this time where we can really truly be selfish for the first time ever.
And especially right now, like, women are having quite I don't want to get political, but women are having women can do everything. Women can be everything and support themselves, and they don't need a man to do
they
that.
They don't need us at all to do that. And they deserve that freedom and that luxury to be able to feel that. So really, take the time to fall in love with yourself before you feel like you need to lay any of this other stuff in place. I know a lot of people that have found themselves later in life after they've found who they thought they want to spend forever with, and it's like, I married this person when I was 24, and now that I'm 33, I'm a completely different person. It's like, yeah, surprise. When you got married,
hello.
When you got married, your frontal cortex wasn't formed. Like, you are literally, a completely different person than you were 8 years ago. Your taste buds aren't even the same. So to say that everything is going to withstand the test of time is just kind of crazy. So don't ever feel like if you're unhappy that you have to stay in it for somebody else. And I would say the same thing with kids. I staying together for the kids is a really common thing. But
It's a lot easier to stay together for the kids than not.
Yeah, I think so.
You have to co-parent then, or maybe you don't have to. I can't speak to this. But there's a bigger thing. It's not just divorce.
It's a very convoluted process. But at the same time, like, you owe it to yourself to be happy. You only get this finite amount of time on earth. And even if it's your kids' happiness, like, I feel like you can kind of be selfish a little bit, and it'll work. Don't be scared that if this relationship doesn't work, that it's all going to end.
That's over and everything
crash down.
Right.
And you're going to be alone forever. You may be alone forever, but if you entered into a relationship where you were genuinely in love with yourself before you did, you'll be fine on your own.
Right. Like, you were fine before the person, you'll be fine after.
Exactly. That's what we said about my relationship earlier.
Yeah.
I made it work for 26 years without her. I'm sure I can make it.
Like, he'll be okay.
Yeah, I think I'll figure it out.
He's not crying, guys. He's okay. He's good. Well, this was, like, extremely fascinating, and I feel like we could talk for hours about this. But so Josh might come back, and we might talk about this another time. But I would be interested what people think about this. So I'm please, like, DM me at JulieLauren14 on Instagram, or email me at julie@julielauren.com, and I would love feedback, right? Yeah, like, definitely. Wouldn't you love to hear this, Josh?
I'm dying to
What's your Instagram if you want them to?
My Instagram is joshcb713.
Okay.
Really easy to find. And yeah, I definitely want to know what people have to say about
it. It's interesting.
I'd like to know if people have tried it and it didn't work. People have tried it and did work.
And it did work, yeah.
People who are trying to approach it trepidatiously with their significant other on how maybe ways to bring it up in conversation. It is a difficult thing to do, to just say, hey, by the way, sex isn't that awesome. Let's try something else. Like, that's tough. Like, you never want to hurt the person's feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I have to feel like if you're not getting 100% of what you need, the other person can't possibly get all they need too.
Valid point. I hope you guys enjoyed this. I thought it was extremely interesting. I hope you subscribe and download #NoFilter, and I hope you enjoy it. And thank you so much for listening. And I will be back very soon. Bye.
Hey, America, Christopher Hahn here, the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. What is with the president and the right-wing echo chamber encouraging these AstroTurf protests against stay-at-home orders around the country? It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. Check out the Aggressive Progressive Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.